Let us stand up and read a word before we pray, and that is from Mark chapter 7, verses 14 to 16. Mark 7, 14 to 16. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, together we come before your holy face and ask you to give us grace to have ears to hear, hearts to believe, eyes anointed to see, O Lord, bowed in heart and head, we come into your presence, consciously placing ourselves under the covering of your blood, asking for the guidance of your Holy Spirit. Take away all human tradition, take away all human thoughts, take away everything from me and from all of us. Speak to us clearly, that we may understand you in all that you say. Save the lost, heal the sick, deliver those who are possessed or burdened. Thou knowest all things. Make this service a meeting whose fruit will be found again in heaven. Savior, we pray thee, let us redeem the hours of preparation, for it is a precious and serious time. Have mercy on us all. We pray also for those who ask us to pray for them, especially of all the many who are in need. You know where they stay. You know the cry of their heart. Shall not God avenge his own elect, who cry day and night unto him? Verily, in a little while thou wilt do it. Lord, we pray thee, incline thy face and be gracious to us, and bless thy inheritance. We thank thee for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. We not only sang that, we sang that from our hearts and also believed that he is present. And when you hear the testimonies of the individuals whom God has saved, whom he has healed, whom he has blessed, then you are strengthened anew in faith yourself. Yesterday, I visited a couple who live in a remote village where there are only Catholics. I was there for the first time, and the brother said, in 1970, it was suddenly in my heart, early in the morning, around 5 o'clock, just turn on the radio. And he said, suddenly, I heard your sermon, and God spoke to me, saved me, and so on. It was a strengthening for me to know that God's word reaches all who are ordained to behold his glory. one couple, two people from a whole village. The Lord knows His own. He knows where we live, who we are, and He calls us one way, another, another way. May this service also be blessed for each individual, that your personal need could be met, and my personal need, that each of us gets what we need, not always what we want, but what is good for us, what we need, the Lord gives us. Last time, we talked about the fact that we have become a part of the Word that we received, that has been revealed to us. We have not only watched, we have not only listened with earthly ears, we have part in what God is doing in this time. We know that a lot is happening in the political realm, which we do not deal with. We only register things. Into the religious realm, we look a little bit deeper, but then we go further and concentrate on what has been given and thought for the preparation, for the calling out and the completion of the church. When we speak of this, we must also point out and ask for understanding for those to whom it may be new today, that we cannot bypass the messenger if we believe the message. And there are brethren, as I was told the day before yesterday, who take what Brother Branham has taught into their preaching as far as it fits in. But then they say that they must be wise and do not need to mention the name through whom this was revealed. You know, there are two different kinds of wisdom. One is divine wisdom, and divine wisdom is as different from earthly wisdom as the heaven is above the earth. Human wisdom tends to play religious politics a little. Divine wisdom reveals the mystery of God from A to Z, and we are not ashamed of those whom God has used in a special way. We are thankful for a Moses. He was a servant of God, a prophet of the Lord, and all the others whom God has used. In the same way, we are not ashamed to bear witness that the Lord sent our beloved Brother Branham through a direct commission, binding for the church in this last time. I too was once faced with a decision whether I would hide certain things and bring others to light so that I might even still be respected among men. But let that be far away. We have to play with our cards on the table, and I tell you, that's where the spirits separate. And whoever does not have the courage to freely and openly confess through whom God has spoken in this time should seriously ask himself whether God has spoken to him, whether he has understood God's speaking. Someone said to me, it was just 8 days ago, if Branham were here today, he would speak about many things very differently. That went through my heart, and I said within myself, O God, haven't these people understood after all these years that it wasn't Brother Branham who was speaking, but God speaking through him? If he said something different today than what he said 20 years ago, yes, then Brother Branham would have spoken. Then we could all go home and do whatever would be good for one or the other. No, we believe that God spoke through him. Moses would say today what he said then, because it was not Moses who spoke, but God spoke through Moses. Isaiah and all the prophets and apostles, up to Brother Branham, would say today exactly the same thing that they said. For it was not they who spoke, but God spoke through them. I want to remind you of the humble attitude of Brother Branham when he spoke about the opening of the seven seals. He literally said, "We all imagined it to be very different from what God revealed." He included himself and said, "We all imagined it very differently from how God revealed it." He also had an idea until the revelation came. With the revelation, one's own imagination ceases. There all one's own thoughts merge into the thought of God. And lest I forget, let me say it, for I am urged, and I believe it is the Spirit of God that urges me to say it now. Should anyone be here, and I'm really saying this in love before the face of God, whether you have been a believer for 20, 30 or 40 years, if you have not yet been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, take the opportunity that God gives you. Sometimes we hear God's word and we bypass it ourselves, thinking that it only speaks to others and not to ourselves. But God is talking to you and talking to me. And if we have not come to clarity with the principles of Bible teachings on baptism, as written in Hebrews 6, to come to clarity with all the principles of doctrine, how do we want to come to perfection, to the full maturity? How do we want to come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, if one and the other still holds on to their own opinion and conviction here or there? No, the hour has simply come for all of us to drop everything that does not agree with the message revealed by God. It may sound so good and seem so explainable to our minds. Forget it. If it has not been revealed by the Word and Spirit of God, leave it behind. Do not bring anything that men have written in books in past centuries, meaning well, but expressing their own views. Don't bring any of those things over and into the divine message. Just a little of the old leaven can leaven the whole new dough, and it can be 95% of the new and 5% of the old, and that's enough to leaven the whole lump. and basically live in it. We may think it's a small thing to have your own views here or there, and it even goes to your own ego, and that people say, huh, don't we have our own freedom anymore? Aren't we allowed to form our own opinions? Yes, you are allowed to. Feel free. Just form your own opinion. But let me tell you this, your opinion and mine, however well intentioned it may be, will be wrong, and your opinion will be wrong. We only come to the unity in Christ when we have accepted His word for this time without any compromise, without inner resistance. I am well aware, beloved sisters in the Lord, that some statements must be a very hard nut to crack, especially for you. But when you realize how well God means it with you and has said things to you, do you think Brother Branham was interested to make himself so many enemies? He, as a man, he would have liked all to love him as he loved them, but his love was divine love for his people, not a human love linked to human advantages, but a divine commission carried by divine love to be aware of the responsibility to give account on that day. For me, it is a difficult inheritance, and yet a blessed inheritance. It is not easy to render the message so starkly, and especially in the sermons after the opening of the seals. If there is anyone here who is inclined to ecumenism or is a Catholic, forgive this remark. But Brother Branham, urged by the Spirit, has warned about the things that are coming as a religious danger to the believers so disguised, and has literally said in a sermon that will soon come out that it is a leading to the slaughter, as a he-goat leads the sheep to the slaughter. And then, when that trap comes, he jumps aside and the sheep all go in there. The expressions and the things in clarity, as Brother Branham called them by name, may cost me my life one day. Everywhere, in every sermon, is my name and address. But it would be my greatest privilege if I could consecrate my life to God in such a way that He could deem it worthy to have not only lived for the Word of God, but also to have given my life to death. Many have spoken of healing the sick. Many speak of many things. But I ask you today, who has revealed, communicated the word fresh from the throne to the church of the living God, to call them out and to separate them? If you do not name the messenger, then you are friends with all, with Baptists and Methodists, then you are friends with all. But the moment you speak up, you will suffer the same fate as your Lord and mine. You will have to go the shameful way and take up your cross as He took up His cross. Of course, the way of the cross is a hard way. And when we read the story of the crucifixion, I don't know if we as believers have then become aware of what is involved in the crucifixion. In that context, it says in Isaiah 53 that he had no form nor comeliness, that he was despised, hiding our faces from him, and we esteemed him not. And then he was beaten, spit at, rejected. If you really want to be crucified with Christ, then your path will look similar. There will not be everyone patting you on the back. There will have to be a likeness to the way of the Master and his disciples. To him they came and said, "Thou art all born in sins, and wilt thou teach us?" What was it? They did not realize that Bible prophecy was being fulfilled before their eyes. This afternoon, I do not want to preach. I want to recall to our consciousness what God has given us by grace. I do not have a message of my own anyway. There is only one message and only one messenger. And this revealed Word of God, this spiritual food, we read it somewhere yesterday from Jeremiah 15, probably verse 16, that says, "When I received your word, it was my food. The word of the Lord has gone forth, spiritual food in due season." Not food that is already spoiled from the past, but freshly revealed Word of God for the time in which we live. Here in the text, and let's hurry on with that. Here in Mark 7, I am mainly concerned with the saying of the Lord, "Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand." Not listen once here and listen once there, and then form your own judgment or opinion, but hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. On the Mount of Transfiguration, it has been said, "Him ye shall hear." This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. But now we know that the Lord walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, and that there were only seven stars in his right hand. There may be many evangelists, teachers, and whatnot, but there have only been seven messengers of God in the plan of salvation, who received the divine message in the seven periods of time and gave it to the people of God. Whoever bypassed it passed by God. We don't really like to think like that because we live in a society. It is called a pluralistic society. Everybody is free to express his opinion, and that is right. But when it comes to divine things, your opinion and mine is not asked for at all. Here the Lord says, "Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand." He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Not listen to this one or that one, hearken unto me, every one of you. Taking a seat at the feet of Jesus and accept his speech without already forging the counter-response in the meantime. You all know, in earthly life, when two people talk to each other, while one is talking, the other is already looking for the right answer. With God's speech, it is quite different. In the speech of God, there is already the right answer for you and for me. Amen? That's how it is. And when we have understood that in the speech of God there is the right answer, the appropriate answer, but here it says, try to understand it. It is not of any use when we hear. The question was addressed to the disciples at that time. Have you understood all this? And they said, yes, Lord. Did we understand what God was telling us in this time? Somebody came to me and said, Brother Frank, we believe what we have believed since we became believers, what Paul and the apostles already preached. The insinuation should be, so gently of course, not in the crude way, you believe something else now. No, it is not like that. We believe the word revealed by God without ifs and buts. Whether it hits me or hits you, we have to submit under the mighty hand of God. And the hand of God is stretched out and His word goes forth. He who cannot submit under His word does not submit under the mighty hand of God. I know it sounds serious, but be honest with yourselves for once. Aren't we coming to the end in leaps and bounds? Do we have any time left to spend frivolously? Or has God just given us a little more time to get ready for the great day of the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord? The Bible says that you all have the same speech. Now the question is, when we go somewhere as brothers, do we all speak the same way? Do we all say the same thing? Do we all believe the same thing? Has God's word been opened to us by the Holy Spirit? Do we speak in the same way? Or do we speak in different ways? And through different ways, the children of God get confused because there are questions after questions. And even today, a brother told me, maybe he's even here, he said, Brother Frank, we have had a visit and we have been totally confused and we need time to reflect and get our bearings. I tell you today, whoever is sent from God speaks God's word, and all who are of God hear the words of God. And John writes, we are of God, and whoever is of God hears us. Men of God carry the revealed word of the Lord. But who is humble enough today to be corrected? I have had to experience many a difficult hour because many things that the Lord had revealed were new to me. And I have had to take the correction, which I did not want to accept in good, through such heavy blows that I simply had to say, O God, my Father, if you strike so mightily, then you must love me so mightily. As earthly fathers, we tend to do that and say, oh well, it will be all right. But God knows what would become of us. And as fathers, we also see what will become of the children if we let everything pass. God is a loving Father. He cannot let anything pass. He has to correct. And didn't Brother Branham say that everything has to be put right, has to be restored, and we have to get back to where the Lord can reveal Himself? We now come very briefly to a point that I would like to touch on very briefly from the sermon Standing in the Gap, and then refer to it. Here it says, Now, if it is that end age that we are living in, where we've come up through justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Spirit, and had signs, wonders, and all different things, and the gifts has returned to the church, such as divine healing, prophecy, and speaking with tongues and interpretations, and though it's been misrepresented, but yet that don't take away that there is a good one. There is a true one, a real, genuine gift of speaking in tongues that's always supposed to be in the church. We have a lot of impersonations. I was mainly concerned here with the passage that the church was brought back in stages through justification, sanctification, and baptism in the Holy Spirit. And from then on, this ripening begins, this complete preparation for the rapture. Now, it has been said here, there are many imitations, and it has been misrepresented. All respect for the gifts of the Spirit has disappeared, because people, according to their own discretion, as it's already written in the Old Testament, and according to their own inspiration, have done as they pleased. At every suitable opportunity, they had something at their disposal. And I will never forget it, and God forgive me, I have enough to criticize on myself and would not dare to criticize another. But to clarify, because some misunderstandings have come up about this, precisely because of the misuse of the gifts of the Spirit, which have not been used and operated under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, but at one's own discretion. I remember a preacher from Hamburg, who in every service I witnessed either gave a prophecy or interpreted a vision. And on that Sunday morning, I will never forget, when he started and said, "I see in the Spirit, although I usually keep my eyes closed, for me prayer is prayer. And in prayer you don't look around. In prayer you ponder, you close your eyes, you talk to God and seek connection with Him. But suddenly it spoke to me, look to the front." And that's what I did. And this man had both hands deep in his pockets and was standing there quite comfortably, looking over the congregation with his eyes open, who had closed their eyes, and says, "I see in my spirit a beautiful green pasture. I see a little brook bubbling down the hillside. And when I looked and saw with what audacity and impudence this man had lied and deceived the people of God, then this was just too much for me. And I thanked the Lord that He opened my earthly eyes to open my spiritual eyes." But what are we trying to say today? Not to judge a preacher. It's not the man's fault. He is just in this cycle, in a movement where things are just pulled out of the head. And if it's not the sisters, it's the brothers. Somebody's going to be found anyway. And Brother Branham says here, it's been misrepresented. And that's where all the damage is. We believe in the true baptism with the Holy Ghost and with fire. We believe in the true gifts of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the true fruits of the Holy Spirit. But we do not believe in pious deceit. We do not believe in that. And we do not want it to be carried over into the circles and the people of the end time message. We do not believe in that. Nothing of our own is to be carried over. Here is the secret. Those who can do all this so nicely and put their hands in their pockets as deep as they can and show it all to the people and every brother and sister, you should have heard them praying after this revelation. When that man finished, it went spontaneously like a waterfall. Then it started. Lord, we thank you. You are present. You spoke to us. That's how it went. Everything went round and round in me. I thought, oh God, what a deception. Today, I understand why all these men are rejecting the end-time message. Because they are being corrected, because they are being rebuked, because they are being shown the place where they belong. And this they can't stand. As just said, and also Brother Branham, and in the book of Acts, there have been gifts of the Spirit in the church. It was outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But everybody, everywhere, waited for God to do it. They did not set up their own fabrication, but let God work. After all, it's not your gifts and mine to do with as we please. It's gifts of the Holy Spirit and can only be used under the guidance and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I could write a whole book about such things. But only after things were not just somewhere, but in close proximity. Only when things were so around me. And. Only then did I realize that even the judgment in others cannot be my help, but my own judgment. You for yourself, I for myself. And we as a church are allowed to judge, as the Holy Scripture says, not judging the revealed word, but here clearly expressed, it is about Brother Branham and what he said. If you and I approach what he has spoken in the name of the Lord and say, let us now examine that, then I say to you, examine yourself before your God, whether your attitude is right. But if here and there and everywhere are gifts in operation and there is so much confusion and mischief and hatred and all kinds of things, then we have to understand that it cannot be the Spirit of God. The kingdom of God is love, joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. God does not use His word to beat us down. He uses it to lift us up, to help us. But here we are shown these three stages of development until it can then come to perfection. And we want to experience the completion at all costs. And therefore, must not just say, there they are talking about the Holy Spirit and are in the charismatic movement, are here and there. We are to look away from everything that is happening on the left and on the right and look to Jesus and hear Him. And He speaks in this time through His mouthpiece, through the revealed word of the end times. That is the only standard we have. We could, as you know, if the Jews change any provision, then 70 rabbis have to come together and they have to make the decision on it and say whether it should be this way or that way. We could get together with 70 or with 7 times 70 and sit over what Brother Branham said and look at it and think we can make a decision. The decision has been made. God has called his servant and prophet. God has sent him. God has spoken to us. And in his speaking is your answer and mine. Not in what I say. I too have found myself a few times, yes, many times, having my own thoughts about God's word. And suddenly I heard what Brother Bram said. And I was still convinced at that moment, man, surely you are right. You are looking at this thing the right way. Yes, you can think that. But if God can get you to the point where you just shut up, and as it says here, hearken unto me, every one of you, not just some. It doesn't say, hear this brother or that sister. Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. God has spoken, but we must be silent, so that his speaking becomes our response. If we talk back, God's answer will not come until our last days. For my part, I am inwardly so led, and I mean because it is now coming to an end, that the called out church will become a word bride in which every promise given for her in the Word of God can be fulfilled. These conditions are and were made by God sending a word prophet. He did not send a dreamer who somehow had something in his imagination. He humbly said, I cannot do anything unless the Lord gives it to me. God sent a word prophet. And I ask you today, this is all so fresh, that's probably why I'm coming to it. But just in Bavaria, near Rosenheim, I was talking to people on Friday afternoon, and we came to talk about baptism. And the sister said, yes, Brother Frank, but it is written in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yes, I said, sister, there's even more written. Here is the command, and then afterwards comes the answer as to how the command should be understood and carried out. They also spoke of many revelations, and perhaps that is why I came back to it so directly. And do you know what this sister said at the end? Yes, now I understand what it is all about. She said, here in Bavaria, no woman cuts a loaf of bread unless she says in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then this woman and that couple understood what all is done in this formula. And then the scales fell from their eyes. You see, sometimes you can even put your finger on a Bible verse and say, yes, here it is written. And that is what the Lord said. That's what he said. That's also written. But the Lord says, try to understand the words that I speak to you. Hearken unto me, all of you. You have to sit at the feet of Jesus to listen to him. Where can you hear him today? At that time, that's clear to us. He was in Galilee. The people who loved him were around him in Galilee. Where is he today? Through whom is he speaking today? Where should we go today? What are we to hearken to today? Shall we go from one assembly to another? Shall we listen to see if the brother might have something special from God? Or if that brother has a special gift? When it comes down to that, some will almost smile now. But we have had so much, even people who have seen the devil come through the ceiling and whatnot. I'm not talking about these things now. I ask you, where will you and I go to hear the words of the Lord addressed to his people at this time? Will we go from one scribe to another? From one great man of God to another? I say no. For as it is written of John, he was a man sent from God with a divine message. Brethren, you will find one day that there is where the spirits separate. And just as I said in the last service here, there where others stop and say, here we can't go along anymore, that this man should have had a commission in the plan of salvation. And it is precisely where they can no longer go along, where they stop, right there, your and my path in following Jesus begins. But with this moment, we load disgrace and shame upon ourselves, without any exception. Unless we are really, as I said at the beginning, Christian diplomats, who are now indeed so wise in their own eyes. I want to have divine wisdom. I have nothing to lose. And I think here of the brother in Romania, when he had to pay 20,000 lei as a fine because Bible studies were being held there. And the man says, is that all? The cause of God is worth much more to me than these 20,000 lei. And the people, they had to look at each other. Do we want to save anything? Where to? The Lord has saved us, and we are glad that He has shown us mercy, and we can no longer run back and forth. We have come to rest in God. And I tell you, whoever now reads the sermons that have been preached after the opening of the seals once and maybe again and really goes into it with his heart. Another brother told me, already 11 years I have all the sermons, but only now do they have something to say to me. Only now do I understand what it is all about. It is God's revealed word for this time. Sitting at the feet of Jesus in this time means listening to what the Spirit has spoken through the mouth called and chosen by God. I am not waiting for new revelations. I am only waiting for a new equipping with a power from on high, so that the mechanism that God has put together may be quickened and set in motion. But this will not be done by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Oh, how wonderful to live in a time when our Lord has spoken to us. In His speaking is the answer, and I tell you, if you have read one thing and you have not received an answer, there is a resistance in your heart. Give up the resistance and read again with an open and sincere heart, and scales will fall from your eyes. And finally, we will all be taught by God of one speech, of one heart and soul. And wherever we go, we will bring blessings. I don't know if the sister will hear this, but it strengthened me somehow. The sister said, Brother Frank, as often as you have been here, and this is my second home in southern Germany, near Heilbronn. And then the sister said, there hasn't been one time that you have come without God blessing us in a wonderful way. And this sister started to cry. And we thanked God together. Brother, when you go in the name of the Lord, you don't go in your own course, then God will be with you. There will be ways of peace and blessing, ways of reconciliation and forgiveness. There will be divine ways in your life and in mine. May God bless us. I told you that I was not going to preach today. I just wanted to emphasize these things. And when we have become still before God, and all the to and fro, all restlessness has ceased, and we have come to rest in God through Jesus Christ our Lord, then God will reveal Himself. But as long as the to and fro is still going on, God cannot work. The Holy Spirit is symbolized by a dove. And you all know, a dove, it doesn't need any restlessness. It has to be gentle. It has to be quiet. And when the Holy Spirit has brought us to rest in God, to rest in His revealed Word, not only to have heard Him, but to have understood Him. Hear me, all of you, the Lord has said, and try to understand what I have said. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Seven church ages, seven messengers, seven spirits of God, seven seals, seven trumpets, the number seven. The Spirit speaks through the messenger, and the bride who is called out by the message gets the divine answer through the word that the Spirit has spoken through the messenger. And do you know what the result is? I can tell you that today in all humility. It is written, the Spirit and the bride say, come. One language. The bride ends up speaking the language of the Spirit. The bride got her answer from the speaking of God. When you say and claim to have heard the speaking of God through the end time message, the question still remains, did you understand? If you say yes, I have understood it, then you no longer have any question. Then you have received the answer. And then you no longer go from here to there. You come to the Lord who has spoken, and I dare say, who continues to speak to His own through His revealed Word. This afternoon He talks to you and to me, and He says, hear me, all of you, and try to understand what I have said to you. At the wedding at Cana in Galilee, it is said, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. He has spoken through the mouth of man, but it is and remains God's Word, and it continues to speak to you and to me until the total victory of the cross of Calvary is revealed, and the bride and the Spirit speak the same language, united in the Word, waiting for the Lord's return. May God bless you all and put such a deep and heartfelt desire in our hearts to be filled with Holy Spirit, to go the way of dying, to rise with the Lord to a new life, and then to be filled with Holy Spirit. Those who still do their own, I ask you in the name of the Lord, stop it. The Lord wants to glorify Himself, but He will not mix divine and human. God does not do that. God speaks and first separates the light from darkness. He totally separates the human from the divine. And only then have we come to the point where the Lord could pour out His blessings on us in full measure. When we have come to our end, even religious end, then God can begin something entirely new, in you, in me, and in many others. And through His Church, He wants to do it by grace. Praise be to His holy name. Amen. Let us stand and pray. Consciously, we come to you in faith, under the covering of the blood of the Lamb. We approach in faith your throne of grace, sprinkled with the blood. There you are now, High Priest, interceding for us. Faithful Lord, you who died on Calvary, and now descend upon this congregation and walk through our midst to testify that you are alive. We ask you together, save the lost. Give them assurance that salvation has happened for them too. And may they say in faith, Lord, my Savior, you have redeemed me. Lord, we pray for the sick. You let yourself be beaten, and by your stripes, by your wounds, we have been healed. May all who are sick in body accept their healing in the name of the Lord at this moment and confess with their mouths, Lord, my Savior, by your stripes, by your wounds, I am healed. I thank you and praise your name, Savior, all who are tormented and depressed in their spirit, O God. Lord, you have given deliverance. May they also believe in their deliverance. And I command, according to the word of God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that every evil spirit leave every individual who now believes in Jesus Christ. Satan, you are defeated on the cross of Calvary. You have lost every right to every child of God. The blood of the Lamb has redeemed us and speaks for us. Lord, I thank you for the total victory on the cross of Calvary. I thank you for speaking directly and misunderstandingly to your people through the mouth of your servant and prophet, our beloved Brother Branham. I thank you for all the apostles, for all the prophets. Lord, I praise your holy name, which is above every name, which is honored and hallowed among your people. And may you be able to begin your work, and may we have come to the end of our works. Confirm thy word, O Lord, and comfort those who are cast down and brokenhearted, and strengthen us all in the faith, and bind us together among ourselves and with thee. Lord, you have not only spoken, we have heard, we have understood, we have received the answer from you, not for our sake, but for the sake of your grace, O Lord. Receive the worship, the praise, and the glory. Thou art worthy, O Lamb of God, thou art worthy, and yours are gathered here to offer thee praise, honor, and glory. I thank thee, O God in heaven, in the precious and holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.